So beginning in verse 20 of Exodus 8, where we finished last week, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee and upon thy servants and upon thy people, and into thy houses and in the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be." And the Lord did so. And there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, "Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land." And Moses said, "It is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, and he shall command us." And Pharaoh said, "I will let you go, that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me." And Moses said, "Behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully in any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord." And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. There remained not one. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go. So tonight our title is A Division. A Division. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that the Word of God would speak to our hearts and teach us tonight. And Lord, that we would be attentive to it. We would grow through it. We ask you to guide us, and we love you in Christ's name. Amen. So this is the first of the plagues so far where God said, "I'm going to make a difference." Up to this point, the plagues affected everyone. But he said in this particular plague, as he says in verse 22, "I will sever the land of Goshen." So I'm going to send these flies. And I'm sure we can't even imagine how horrible that would be, to just flies literally everywhere. And he says in verse 23, "And I will put a division between my people and thy people." So really, it's a double miracle this time. Not only did God bring up all of these millions of flies, but there were no flies where Israel was. And yet in Egypt, the rest of Egypt, it was full of flies. So God now is beginning to teach his people this concept of there being a difference between his people and not his people. Remember, they have been in captivity for 400 years. That's a long time to be part of Egypt. So it wasn't a short time. It's multiple generations of people have been born and grown up and died in Egypt. And that's pretty much all that they know. And now God is saying, I want there to be a difference. It's a new concept for them, but a concept that he is going to repeat over and over again. Let's look at some scriptures, chapter 11 and verse 7. He does it again with this miracle here in Hebrews 11, which is the final plague of the lamb and the blood. He says, "But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel." So even in the 10th plague, he did it again. But now let's go to Leviticus 18. And I want you to see that God then, after the people had left Egypt, and as God began to give Israel the law through Moses, Leviticus 18, God began to teach his people that he wanted this difference to remain. He wanted there from then on to always be a difference between his people and not his people. Notice Leviticus 18:3, "After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt. So it's no longer they dwell, they've dwelt. They're out of the land now here in Leviticus. They're receiving the law. Shall ye not do? And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do? So he's saying, I want you to be different, not only from Egypt, where you came from, but from the Canaanites, where you're going. Because remember, when they went into Canaan, they had to destroy the nations that were there to take the promised land. God didn't kill them. God sent them in to kill them. And he said, I don't want you to do after them or them, where you've been or where you're going. I want you to be different. And then look at Leviticus 20. We'll see it again. Verse 26. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26. And you shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy and have severed you from other people that ye should be mine. It's God that is doing the severing. Again, 400 years in Egypt, that's a long time. He's saying, now I want you to be severed, completely broken free from your past. Which, did that happen? Sadly, no. Not in their behavior. They wouldn't let go, would they? They just kept talking about how they wanted to go back, how they missed it, which is what happens to a lot of Christians too, isn't it? Oh, it was so fun when I was unsaved and living like the devil. And the devil says, well, come on back. But God says, no, you are now severed. I've severed you from other people. You're now my special people. And go to Deuteronomy 7, and we'll see he even uses the word special. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. And so he's now beginning to teach Israel that he wants there to be this difference or this division between his people and those that are not his people. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. He's talking here about testimony, isn't he? He's saying, I want you to be special. I want the nations around you to see that there's a difference when a nation makes the God of heaven their God. I want you to be special. I want you to shine forth my testimony. And you know, for you and I as Christians, God tells us the exact same thing, does he not? You're in the world, we saw it in John 17 this morning, but we're not of the world. He wants us to be separate or severed from the things and the ways of the world. We're told in 1 John 5, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We're not to be in love with the world. Romans 12, 2, be not conformed to this world. Turn to 2 Corinthians 6, and we'll see again, God commands us as his children. And by the way, in 2 Corinthians 6, he's quoting the Old Testament relative to Israel, but putting it into the church. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. He's quoting the Old Testament, but he's giving it to us in the church and saying, be separate. And then another one in James chapter 1, if you want to turn there quickly, James 1, 27. James 1:27, pure religion, undefiled before God the Father, is this. So here's pure religion, according to God, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. To be separate, to be divided from the world. Unspotted is the word he uses here. So God is beginning now to teach Israel that yes, he looks at them differently. And when he looks at you and me, he looks at us differently. You know what he sees? He sees Jesus. Amen? We're the body of Christ. What does he see when he sees an unsaved person? He sees someone in need of Christ, but someone who will perish forever if they choose not to accept Christ. So yes, we are different. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That is God's division. Those who have the Son and those who don't have the Son. So he's teaching them early on that he wants there to be a division, a difference. And that's good. That's good, a good lesson to start teaching them. But the story doesn't finish there. Verse 25 of our passage, Exodus 8. Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, "Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land." You might say, "Oh, what's the big deal?" Remember, Pharaoh is a picture of the devil. Egypt is a picture of the world. Israel is a picture of the Christian. And knowing all that to be true, what is we see here? We see the devil trying to get them to compromise. From day naught, Moses has said, "We need to go 3 days' journey into the wilderness to sacrifice to the Lord our God." That's never changed. That's always been God's command. 3 days' journey. Now that the plagues are getting tougher, Pharaoh's starting to give a little bit. And he says, "Okay, you can sacrifice to God, but do it here. Do it here in Goshen." Just a small compromise. And yet, how often does the devil do that with Christians? Just a little compromise. You know, go ahead and, yes, serve God, but just compromise in this one little area or this other little area. And that's, by the way, if you go to 2 Corinthians 2, that's one of the devil's wiles, which we'll be talking about at family camp, is to try to get an advantage of us, to trick us, if you will, into compromising. Notice 2 Corinthians 2:11. Paul says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." One of Satan's devices is to try to get Christians to compromise. To say, "Yes, I can be in the world and in the church at the same time." And how many Christians do that very thing around the world? They think they can do both. It doesn't work that way with God. He wants us to be severed. He wants us to be different. He wants us to be separated. And when the devil comes along and says, "Let's just make one little tiny compromise. Don't go 3 days' journey. I'll let you sacrifice. You've been asking. Just do it right here in Goshen." And I love what Moses said in verse 26. He said, "It is not meet to do so." He says, we can't do it because it has always been an abomination to the Egyptians that we are shepherds. Verse 27, "We will go 3 days' journey." Don't you love that? Not, "Oh, please, Pharaoh, please let us go 3 days' journey." No, we will go 3 days' journey. Now, it may not be today, and it may take some more plagues, but we will go 3 days' journey. I love that. And you know, that's what we need to say to the devil. When he says, "Oh, just make this little compromise," say, "No, devil, I am going to obey the word of God. Leave me alone." The Bible says, "Resist the devil, he will flee from you." Give him some scripture. Tell him to leave you alone and stop trying to talk you into making compromises. And say, "No, devil, I am going to do right." Amen? Moses said, "No, we are going 3 days into the wilderness." And that's just the way it is. So let's look at some New Testament examples. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And Paul's human like the rest of us. The apostles, they all faced temptations by the devil to compromise, but thankfully they never did. Now, there were some companions of theirs that did along the way. But Paul says here in 2 Timothy 2, by the way, this is the last book that he wrote, as far as we understand. And he says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." In other words, we're soldiers for Jesus Christ. We all know this to be true, which means we're in a war, amen, with the devil, with the world. What's the cause? The souls of men and women, boys and girls. And he says, if you're going to be a good soldier, you can't get tangled up in the affairs of this life. You have to be focused. And fighting has to be number one. So, no compromise. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's look at another one. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You see that word weight? So in 2 Timothy, he's likening us to soldiers. Here, he's likening us to long-distance runners. And he says every long-distance runner gets rid of anything that's going to slow him down, doesn't he? Every weight. Nobody would go and try to run a marathon with a 40-kilo backpack on his back, unless he's trying to prove a point, of course. But if he's trying to win or do well in the marathon, he's going to get rid of every weight. God says we as Christians need to do the same. Don't compromise. Get rid of anything that hinders you from being the best you can be for God. My favorite is Revelation chapter 2 and verse 14. A lot of people don't know what the doctrine of Balaam is, but I will explain it here in a moment. But here he is rebuking, here in verse 14, the church at Pergamos. And look what he says. I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Now, if you go back and you read this study, or the story of Balaam and Balak, most of you know the story about the talking donkey and the trying to hire Balaam to curse Israel, and all three times he tried, God overrode, and instead he blessed Israel. And in the end, Balaam, he just wanted the money, because he was offering him, Balak was offering him money if he would curse Israel. And so God doesn't tell us exactly what the doctrine of Balaam was in that actual story, but then we find out later what it was. And here's what he did. He said, you know what? I can't curse Israel. God won't let me. So here's what you do, Balak. If you can't beat them, just go join them. Because if you'll go down there and join them and intermarry with them, you know what will happen? God will have to punish them. Because he's commanded them not to intermarry with any of the surrounding nations. And when they do intermarry, you know what they'll do? They'll start worshiping the false gods of the people that they intermarry with. And that's exactly what they did. And that's what he means when he said to cast a stumbling block. So what did Balak do? He said, that's pretty good advice. Let's go down and make league with them and become best friends. And they intermarried and they started worshiping false gods. And then God had to punish Israel, which is what Balak wanted all along, isn't it? So that's the doctrine of Balaam, talked about here in Revelation 2:14. The doctrine of compromise. The doctrine of mixing with the world. And God says Christians shouldn't do it. So back to our passage in Exodus. God says, I want there's going to be a difference. I want to be Israel to be severed from Egypt in this fourth plague of the flies. God wants us to be severed. And then Pharaoh tries this first compromise and says, you can sacrifice, just do it here. And Moses said, no, 3 days' journey. I'm not backing down. This isn't a negotiation. This is a command from Almighty God. So what does he do? But he tries again. Verse 28. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. So the first compromise was, do it here in Goshen. The second compromise was, all right, you can leave Egypt, but just go a little bit. Don't go very far. In other words, the devil's giving a little bit. Look at Moses' answer. Moses said, verse 29, behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully. Is the devil deceitful? Yep. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. The devil's very subtle in the way he does things. He always comes from the side instead of head on, trying to get us to compromise, trying to get us to doubt, as we'll see at family camp. But the devil is deceitful. Never forget that. But Moses never backed down. He walked out and said, fine, I'll get rid of the flies, which he did. And I love the end of verse 31. God is a God of details, isn't he? There remained not one. He didn't just kind of get rid of the flies. There remained not one fly in Egypt. Wow. Another miracle. And Pharaoh hardened his heart. Still got some plagues to go. And by the way, the devil is the father of lies, we're told. John 8:44, he's a liar and the father of it. Whenever he comes along and tries to offer up a compromise, it's a lie. Don't listen to him. He's just trying to get you off track. He's trying to get you to ruin your testimony. He's trying to have you not be severed or divided from the world. He wants you to mix with the world, but he's going to do it subtly. Just a little bit, he says. Not a lot, just a little bit. And we need to be like Moses. Amen? No. This is what God says. This is what I'm going to do. Leave me alone, devil. No compromise. So God said to Israel, for the first time in this fourth plague, I want there to be a division between you and the nation of Israel. And we'll see, and as we saw, he continued with this theme as they went out and got the law from Moses, a division. And God wants the same for you and me. And as soon as we make that commitment to follow God's plan and that there be a division between us and the world, as soon as we do it, that's when the devil is going to come along and say, okay, that's fine. You want to be different from the world. That's okay. Just this one little tiny area, if you just make one little change, we'll be all good. Don't listen. Amen? He's a liar. He's deceitful. No compromise. Moses said, no, it's 3 days' journey. And that's what we're going to do. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this great lesson from Israel. Lord, not only that there was a difference, but that the devil hates that. He hates it that we stand for Jesus. He hates it when we do right. And he's going to come after us, Lord, and help us to be aware of that he is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour, that he's deceitful, that he's a liar. And may we just not listen to him. May we, like Moses, just stand and say, no, no compromise. This is what God said, and that's what I'm going to do. And stand for Jesus, our Savior, whom we love and in whose name we pray. Amen.